Well, good Wednesday. It's the middle of the week, the 18th of March. I hope you had a fabulous St. Patrick's Day. I know that we did at WJR. I hope you were tuned in a little bit at one point or another from noon to two. Although if you missed it, you could tune in still. You can podcast it at WJR.com or the free WJR app. You could be streaming us right now. And of course, Facebook and YouTube pages back to live streaming today. And we loved having the Corktown Popes, who learned, thanks to Ray Templin, our engineer, he got him to learn Carla with a K, the theme you're hearing right now in the background from the Hooters.
He made a request.
He did make a request, and it came through beautifully with the Corktown Popes. Dave Yurisek, Paul Goodman, Jason Kewen, and Terry Burns did a nice job. I'm sorry to say that they've got their farewell show coming up at the Cadieux Cafe March 26th. So that's going to be it. They're breaking up after many, many years. They told me it was just time. March 26th, Cadieux Cafe, farewell show of the Corktown Popes. Hope you can get there. I have so many people to thank that I thanked yesterday, but it's a flurry, you know. How many guests did you book, Mike Parsons?
So they asked me to count, and I got 55 guests that we had on yesterday.
55 guests, yeah. Which is unheard of. And did you count the ones that you threw in at the last minute?
Yes, I did count that.
All right, good.
Someone stole my voice, too.
Oh, is your voice?
It's a little hoarse, yeah.
Well, you had to do a lot of talking over loud noises.
Right.
So I start with you, Mike Parsons. Thank you for the very good job. Totally different than your daily job. And Danielle Mason, totally different than her daily job. Yeah. Danielle was on location with us, which she ought to do more because she likes getting out of the booth and coming and having fun with us. And she did a great job. Well, she assisted you, so... You should say she did a great job.
Yeah, I could not have done what I did yesterday without Danielle. If Danielle was not there, the whole thing would have fallen off the rails. So thank you, Danielle.
Welcome.
Thank you, Danielle. God bless you. And Rich Luzinski, we did not see him, but he kept up the pace of WJR traffic and weather first that you can depend on. I mentioned Ray Templin. He had the tough job in the midst of all of the activity of trying to balance the band and all the five or six microphones that had to be on. And he did it from across the room, basically, which made it a little more difficult. But Ray Templin, great job as one of our great engineers that have to do more remotes than any radio station in the country. And then Dominic Valentini was helping out back at the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building, running all the controls.
A lot of curveballs, and he did great. He knocked them all out of the park, so great job,
you
Dominic.
You told me you sent him some curveballs, which I was not even aware of.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, it was happening. I didn't even know it.
Keep it simple. Just a need-to-know basis. It was, but
well, you know you have to keep it simple for your host.
Yeah.
I admit that for sure. I thank these folks for the gift bags, but this, again, was at the end. I want to thank them now. The fog, Crispelli's, Dave's Sweet Tooth Toffee, Mano's Pita Chips, the Grand Traverse Pie Company, and Mitch's Own Brown Bag Popcorn, which was included in all of the goodie bags, including beer steins. Is that what you call them, beer steins?
I think technically they're pint glasses.
Pint glasses,
yeah.
That had our little logo on there, and also... said that they were sponsored by Visit Detroit, so their little logo was on there as well. I announced, and I don't know if either you two probably didn't hear this, but I announced that our dear friend, fellow Monroeite, Jeff Marcero, who's been at the station as long as anybody or longer, vice president of sales, Cumulus Detroit, his lovely wife, Wendy, well, he told me, and I announced it, his son... Adam Marcero and lovely wife Sarah have announced they're expecting their first baby September 14th.
All right.
So Jeff and Wendy are over the moon, and they'll be first-time grandparents in the making, Jeff and Wendy. So very excited for Adam and Sarah, and we are so excited for them, too. They'll get tired of hearing this, but yes, I knew Adam as a little boy, just like I said to Mike Bouchard,
right.
Candidate Mike Bouchard, the son of Mike Bouchard and Pam. I knew him when he was a little boy. These things happen when you're around a long while. How did the special broadcast with Ken Hayward, Mark Hollis, Terry Rattigan do, the WJR Spotlight, sponsored by Visit Detroit last night, 7 to 9?
I did not hear it, but with those guys, I'm sure it was fantastic.
Excellent. One thing I mentioned, but again, maybe you guys didn't hear this, Lloyd Jackson is, for the first time, being a grandfather with a grandson.
Oh, all right.
He's had granddaughters, but yeah. As I understood it, in all of everything that was going on, he came over to tell me that now he has a grandson.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Listen to this. Lloyd Jackson III, and they call him Trip.
Oh, that's really
cute. Cool.
For Triple. But Lloyd Jackson III, that's a lot of gravitas.
If
he wants to put that on a resume, I'd be like, ooh, that sounds regal.
You don't have to put anything else on, son. Come on aboard. All right, let's see. Then Ryan came on after us. He did great. I saw it. I know Mitch was coming because Lath, the great Metro car driver of all time.
Your head of security, I call him.
My head of security, Lath, dropped me off and then went back out and picked up Mitch to take him out. And then Lomas Brown Jr. and A.B. Anthony Bellino was there. It was a heck of a party. And we thank all the hardworking people at the event site, Doyle's Irish Pub at St. John's. That really is quite a place. And from what I could tell, everyone was having a ball.
Yeah, everyone did seem to have a good time. And, you know, we heard it from John Selleck yesterday. I got a nice note from one of our guests, just how great it is to get, you know, all those people from business and politics, both sides of the aisle, just in a room to just enjoy each other. And
it was a great mix of Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah.
And which is the point you're getting at,
yeah.
which is a big deal these days. It's sad, but it's true. It's a big deal. And we feel very proud about that we have done our best to be fair. I mean, people know where I stand on a lot of issues. Well, I'm going to change my stance here. I just learned this. I've been blaming the Democrats for not doing the vote, and therefore when you go to the airport, it's hell. And these poor TSA workers, not to mention Coast Guard, which we don't run into Coast Guard people all the time, but these folks aren't getting paid, and that's wrong. And I've been holding the Democrats completely responsible for that. But I just learned today, and I don't have the facts, so I'm still holding the Democrats responsible until someone can show me. Apparently, Republicans last week maybe voted down some kind of bill that somebody offered that would have gotten TSA and the others, like four other departments, Coast Guard, DHS, whatever, paid. Do you know anything about that? Because I didn't.
No, I didn't. But it's almost like both sides are playing fast and loose here.
Yes,
not everybody, but some.
Both sides are, which is why, I think Mike Duggan made a brilliant move giving people a third choice, walking down the middle of the politics of the day, because people feel disillusioned. The worldwide threat to homeland hearings are underway, but so is the speech from our Vice President of the United States. Mr. Vance is in Auburn Hills at the Engineering Design Services, and there's some other kind of hearing going on. I mean, there's something. There's too much going on.
Oh, and one thing I do want to get out there, Paul, before 1 o'clock, there's a statewide tornado drill at 1 o'clock.
I saw that last night, and I can't find it now. I think you sent it to me.
Yeah, it's on the stack. So, yeah, if you hear the sirens, because I know nerves are still a little raw from a couple weeks ago. But
of course, that's a good thing to remind them.
Yeah.
So it's at 1 o'clock. You
1 o'clock.
It used to be noon?
Maybe
or some sirens used to be tested at noon.
Yeah, maybe they just didn't account for the time change yet. I don't know. I know. It like the first Saturday of the month at 1 p.m. they always test them, but I think they're doing a special one today for severe weather awareness week or something.
Yeah, severe weather awareness week. You wrote here, 2026 statewide tornado drill happening today at 1 o'clock. So I'm so glad you brought that up. because you're right. We're all on edge. And why wouldn't we be with everything that's going on? We're on edge. And you see, you hear a bunch of sirens going off. I'm getting it all the time on my phone.
Right.
That the Ring network is a little annoying because every last cat or dog comes up like a bulletin.
Right.
But you get other stuff, too, and one of them is, did anyone else hear those gunshots? Well, who the hell wants to hear that? I mean, what?
You know, no matter where you live, your local Ring or Facebook community, we're all the same.
Right. And I look at the map, and it said actual location not shown for security. Well, how the heck does that help us if we don't know the actual location of where there are gunshots?
Just keep your head on a swivel.
I have to get out my Patriot missiles, my bazookas, all the stuff I carry and keep at home.
Right, for security.
My homeland security. If nobody else is going to do it, I'm going to. Anyway, all right, we've got a lot to talk about. I think we thanked everybody. I thank our audience, too, for being there and a part of this broadcast every year. I think there was a story out, and I think JP started it 41 years ago. I think he did the show, the St. Patrick's Day party, for 10 years, about 10 years. We've done it for 30 years.
Wow.
So it will always be called JP's St. Patrick's Day party. I'm accustomed to that. But we've done it three times longer, and it's grown, and it's been fabulous. And we thank everybody who participated and, again, showed up, as you wisely pointed out, Mike. It was not political. We had Democrats. We had Republicans. We gave them all time and enjoyed speaking with them. And it shows that they believe that this program is a friendly entity for all. Doesn't mean we're going to fall over and agree with either side all the time, but friendly entity for all. All right, let's get underway here with Relentless Positive Radio. No more party today. We're right into the news on WJR. I can never thank these people enough. I'll do it one more quick time because I did this on the show, but they couldn't have heard it because they were so busy. And that would include Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, Ray Templin, Dave Rieger, Ron Smerigan, Ann Thomas, our program director. And if there's one person who knows, wouldn't you agree, Mike, if there's one person who knows how tough this is, it would be Ann Thomas because she did it for years with us. We thank Dominic Valentini, also Jeff Marcero, the director of sales, now soon to be Grandpa. I don't know what they'll call him. Papa, maybe? He'll always be Jeff to us. And then Steve Finitari, our fearless leader, and it's not easy leading a radio company. He does it for Detroit and for Ann Arbor, all the Cumulus stations, Mike Wheeler. The account executives who go to bat every day so that we can still provide free radio. So when when an account executive identifies themselves as being with WJR, please listen to them and understand that we can help you, as we have helped thousands of clients over the years do very well. So thank you to our account executives and the countless teammates behind the scenes that I couldn't possibly name them all, but they do supportive work in the background. And again, you wouldn't have this great voice of the Great Lakes without their work. The team, the team, the team. I do believe now I've gotten everybody. Is that right, Mike? I know you're probably on the phone with our next guest, but hopefully. Is that everybody? Did we get everybody? Did we get everybody? Okay. You sound harried and hassled like you're doing a St. Patrick's Day broadcast. It's over. It ended yesterday. Okay. David Duleo, a distinguished professor, political science department, director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University, is with us. There's an awful lot going on here. We've got Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, the Homeland Security Secretary nominee. That's just another hearing that's going on. I figured out, David, Professor David, this is apparently what our government has come down to. Having hearings and showboating, depending on if it's a Democrat or a Republican, we already know what Democrats are going to say or what Republicans are going to say, depending on who the person is. There's like four hearings going on right now. Nice to have you back, Professor.
Well, thanks for having me back, Paul W., and you couldn't be more right. The hearing process and activity that Congress engages in started off as a real thing with a real purpose. It was to gather information in the case of the hearing with Senator Mullins to be DHS secretary. It was to investigate their qualifications for serving in a cabinet position. Sometimes there are oversight hearings where the legislative branch is supposed to check up on the executive branch as part of the shared power system, right? All very legitimate and important things. But it's really starting in the 70s when we got C-SPAN, it's taken off in recent years with the advent and domination of social media. They have become just showboating chances for members to get that soundbite that they can share on their social media platform and go viral.
What do you tell your kids in class about these sorts of things?
That they need to realize what it is, that it's a performance in many ways, and that they have to try to read between the lines to get the important information that's there.
I just wanted to say that the Senate debated what some are calling the Save America Act. Some are just calling it the Save Act, depending on where you stand on all of this. They debated it yesterday. How did that debate go?
Oh, as you'd expect, right? I mean, everybody's in their partisan camp on this. It's not like there are going to be any surprises or revelations. We know how all the senators are going to vote on this just because it's so divisive.
And showing ID to vote should not be that big of a deal.
Well,
I go back to the communist in New York City who insisted on two pieces of identification for anybody who wanted to donate their services to shovel snow. I rest my case. I'm told, Professor, we have to move along. Distinguished Professor, Political Science Department, Director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University. I promise you more time next time, David. Thank you much as we continue in Focus on WJR. Happy to welcome Noah Arbit, State Representative, the Democrat from West Bloomfield Commerce Township. Noah, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here. Focus with Paul W. Smith.
Thanks for having me.
This is a very personal story. We know that Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, several state lawmakers, beginning of the week, pushed for action against terrorism and anti-Semitism in the wake of the attack. And it was a very bad attack, obviously, at Temple Israel. It could have been worse if people weren't ready, but they were ready. I wish they didn't have to be, but they were ready. And when I say this is personal to State Representative Noah Arbit, his parents were married at Temple Israel. Noah went to Hebrew school there. He was bar mitzvah there. He hopes to get married there. So this is very personal to you. Are we doing the right things we need to do to prepare for these problems?
Yes, thank you. It is very personal to me. This is, this was an attack on my home in more ways than one. This is my congregation. This is my hometown. And, you know, to feel like people had first heard of West Bloomfield across the country because of the hate someone tried to inflict on us has been really challenging. And I want them to know West Bloomfield and Temple Israel for the response of the security team and WVPD and the fire department and the way the Chaldean community showed up for the Jewish community. That's really what defines our community. And in terms of, you know, solutions, I actually think that there's hope on the horizon. There's a lot that we can be doing. In my first term, I actually ran for office, you know, on the issue of preventing and, taking on hate crimes. And, you know, I passed the Michigan Hate Crime Act and the Institutional Desecration Act, which, you know, ensured that Michigan has the toughest and most stringent penalties for hate crimes against individuals, as well as houses of worship and, you know, businesses and other types of institutions of any state in the nation. But clearly those bills are not enough. Those laws are not enough to prevent. And so what we have to work on now is prevention. And so what I'm working on now is to form a statewide strategy on how do we combat hate, political hate crimes, political violence, domestic terrorism, extremist violence, all of those types of things. And the way we do that is by bringing together mental health professionals, education professionals, people who are, you know, experts on social media and domestic terrorism, all of these kinds of different, you know, fields together, and then forming an office within the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services on prevention. And then, you know, outsourcing some of this work to some, you know, nonprofits and other groups who do this for a living, and making sure that Michigan has the programming through schools and other types of institutions where we're able to, you know, head off radicalization before it turns into violence. Because what we know is that if we head off people, you know, on that, you know, all this kind of violence is escalatory. And so there's a ladder of escalation before someone commits a terrorist attack like this or a hate crime. And so if we get them while they're just, you know, sort of imbibing this extremist content online, and, you know, they're starting to, you know, have, you know, troubling, you know, statements or whatever, and we sort of are able to break that link before it gets to violence, that's how we're going to be able to do, you know, to prevent these crimes.
Well put, Noah Arbit, state representative, Democrat from West Bloomfield Commerce Township. And you said something that Nolan Finley actually ended up writing about, and that is, quote, these are your words, the more anti-Jewish hate speech and anti-Zionist conspiracies are normalized and mainstream, the easier it is becoming for more people to view all Jews collectively as legitimate targets for violence. As you and I both know, Noah, this has been happening for a while now, especially on college campuses, and they get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do about that?
I think it's incredibly concerning. And, you know, I think the biggest message that I have for your audience, and especially for people who aren't Jewish, is that, you know, there are ways to talk about there. You know, no one is saying that, you know, you can't criticize the state of Israel or American policy towards Israel. No one is saying that that is anti-Semitic. But it's the way we do it. It's the way you talk about it. There are ways that you can talk about anything where you dial up the rhetoric to 15 instead of keeping it at a 5 or a 6, which is healthy. And the way that people are talking about Israel and the United States relationship with Israel is incredibly conspiratorial. It's incredibly dangerous, and it fuels violence. It legitimates violence against Jewish communities. And so, for example, there's a profound difference in stating, you know, for example, take AIPAC, which is the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, a political outfit that, you know, does a lot to support candidates who are, quote, pro-Israel, whatever that means. You know, there's a difference between saying, you know, AIPAC and Zionists control the U.S. government and their influence must be quashed. That is incredibly heated and inflammatory and incendiary rhetoric versus saying, I don't agree with AIPAC and I think that their policies are wrong. I oppose their policies and I think that they have too much influence in Congress and we should hold accountable people who, you know, who agree with them. That is an entirely different thing in terms of its impact. One is conspiratorial, one puts Jews in danger, and the other is a legitimate political critique. And so what we're asking and what we need for people to do is when they're talking about these issues to be very cognizant of the language and the rhetoric that they're using, and to make sure that when they're talking about these things, that they keep it in the space of legitimate political discourse and legitimate political critique versus conspiracies that, you know, really do a lot to, you know, further that escalation, that ladder of escalation towards eventually violence, because people get radicalized by that incendiary rhetoric.
Very well put, Noah Arbit, state representative, Democrat from West Bloomfield Commerce Township. We look forward to our next conversation as we continue Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. A couple that were missing yesterday at the party, Brian and Marcy McMahon, have made every one of those St. Patrick's Day celebrations, and for good reason. He is Ohio's best leprechaun, Brian McMahon in Toledo. And it was his birthday yesterday on St. Patrick's Day. Coming up, Michigan and MSU baseball in a non-conference matchup this afternoon. And don't forget, at 1 p.m., statewide tornado drill. You're going to hear sirens. Do not be alarmed. It is only a drill. Yesterday, Rocky Retzkowski was with us, and he is a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army. He's here with us now, weighing in on a couple of things. First of all, former director of the United States National Counterterrorism Center, Joe Kent, resigns over the war in Iran. Fill us in on that, Rocky. By the way, it was great seeing you yesterday, but fill us in on that. I haven't heard too much about this guy.
Yeah, it was great to see you as well, Paul W. I actually know Joe. I've met him over a period of time. He's a great warrior. He was a great warrior. He was a chief warrant officer in the United States Army in the Special Forces, in working with 1st Special Forces Group. He did 11 tours of duty, but his politics were a little bit different. He first started off as a Democrat, then he became a Libertarian, and from Libertarian, he switched over to the Republican Party and supported Donald Trump. His first wife, he was married twice. His first wife was a Navy cryptologist who happened to be on a tour of duty to Aleppo, Syria. If you remember, about 4 or 5 years back, there was a terrorist bombing in Aleppo. She was actually killed in that bombing, and it changed him. And, he was not I don't know where he's coming from, but he wrote his resignation on his letterhead. And he basically took shots at the state of Israel. And quite frankly, I have no idea where he's coming from or where his intelligence is coming from. But from everything that I've seen, Iran is a terrorist state. And we've all known this. Everybody's known this. And so I don't know why he would take a position different from the president.
Well, how important is he?
Not very important right now, especially right now. He was the director of counterintelligence working for Tulsi Gabbard, who was the DNI, the director of national intelligence. And in the big scheme of things, he works with our intelligence, our military, as well as our civil intelligence, the CIA, the FBI, as well as the DIA, which is the Defense Intelligence Agency, to gather intelligence and prepare for making sure that he was the director of the group that made sure that our nation was secure from any terrorist attack or counter-terrorist attack. But you know what? He does have deputies that are doing a lot of the work, so his replacement will probably show up very quickly.
Having visited Cuba, as we have, the only people who are suffering in Cuba are the Cuban people, not the government. But now the government might be working with this government. Just a quick summary, you think it's going to go well?
Yeah, I really do, because, you know, follow the money. If you get tight and things start falling apart, you got to go to those that can help you out. And the U.S. kind of did the same thing we did in almost 1963 with another Cuban Missile Crisis, or we embargoed them economically. And basically now they are falling apart internally with people uprising against the Communist Party.
Rocky, I appreciate your input. Rocky Retzkowski here in WJR. Welcome in to hour number two. Good day. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's hour number two.
Page two.
Page two. And there's always going to be somebody else. I don't know how to say this. We thank everybody who had anything to do with the very successful St. Patrick's Day celebration yesterday. But one that we can't forget right at the top is Sarah Carr, the director of marketing at the beautiful St. John's. And St. John's is a beautiful location, destination for any of your events, not to mention a great place to play golf, but it's a great place to have parties and weddings and all kinds of good things. So Sarah Carr, director of marketing at St. John's. And then, of course, we were in Doyle's Irish Pub, just a great venue, and we thank you very much for that. The team, Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason, Rich Luzinski, helping us to provide you with relentless positive radio while you're on your way to making each and every day count, because you know each day is a gift. We don't know how much QTR we have, as Kim reminds us, because I forget. Quality time remaining, QTR. Don't know? Live a good life. If you're not living the life you always thought you'd live, change. Start. Yeah, I know. I'm making it sound easy, but it can be done. You are not locked in as much as you think that you are. And I do thank you for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. And that happens when you listen to WJR at all, whether you're tuning in for your daily dose of Dietz, All Talk with Kevin Dietz, or JR Afternoon with Ryan Armani. I'm happy to be in the middle of that sandwich. But you start your mornings, too, with JR Morning. And then stick around for Album in the Afternoon, as well as Sports Wrap and all the other great programming here on WJR. Let's see here. Vice President Vance, I think, is probably done speaking in Auburn Hills. The worldwide threat to homeland, the hearings are underway. There's just a whole bunch of them that are, there's like four different hearings underway right now. It's what, it seems to be what they do best right now.
Right.
Is sit around and pontificate with hearings.
It's,
don't you think?
Yeah, it's a hearing that could have been an email. Like the old meeting that could have been an email. Yeah.
Most of these hearings could be an email, but people love to be on television.
You got to get your soundbite in.
It's still got that magic, you know? I remember doing television every day. I had a great conversation with Ryan Armani about this yesterday before he went on the air. But I used to do television in New York. I did it in Toledo. I used to fill in on Kelly and Company here in Detroit. That goes back a long way. And it is special. There's no question about it. But, I mean, the biggest joke is your neighbor commits murder and gets arrested, and it's all televised, and then they make bail, and then you come home, and your neighbor goes, "Hey, I saw you on television." It's kind of out of control. All right, here's a question for the team. And poor Rich, he's out there keeping an eye on WJR Traffic and Weather first, but he does such a good job. But he can weigh in on this. This Michigan city has one of the hottest dining scenes in the country and has been named the 2026 Food City of the Year.
Detroit seems too obvious, so I'm going to say Ann Arbor.
What are you saying, Daniele?
I'm going to say Grand Rapids.
Did Rich make it up to a microphone? Probably not. He's just running around doing what he's doing. Traverse City.
Oh.
Traverse City is having a moment, no longer celebrated only for its blue-green Lake Michigan shoreline, white pine-lined inland lakes, and pastoral countryside. Weren't they also known for beer there? Weren't they like a beer?
Wine.
The
wineries
capital?
On the peninsula.
They're
yeah.
the drunkest city in Michigan, is what they say. And that's based off of data of how many bars/wineries they have per capita.
Well, it's a good thing they got good restaurants to soak all that up, though.
They need to eat. For God's sakes, don't just drink. Eat. So here we are. A city with just 15,000 year-round residents is called one of the most exciting dining scenes in the country. Isn't that amazing? That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Traverse City. And that's not that far away. We can all take advantage of Traverse City in our summer travel plans.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, everyone who goes to Traverse City on a regular basis does have their favorite spot, so it does make sense. I really like the Jolly Pumpkin up there. There's other Jolly Pumpkins, but the one up there is unique.
Well, good for you to even remember to bring up a name. We've eaten there many times because we broadcast from up there so many times. I couldn't have named a restaurant at the moment. Are you all right? Your nose sounds plugged. Is this the allergy thing, or what is this?
I don't know. It's just...
You feel okay?
Yeah, you know, still recovering from yesterday, though.
It was a lot of work,
yeah.
But maybe you need to take a day off.
I'm a delicate flower.
You are a
Yes.
Of all the things I think about Mike Parsons, I don't think I've ever thought, you know, Mike is a delicate flower.
Now, Mike is a delicate flower.
He's a delicate flower. All right, other quick news here. Airline bookings surge as travelers rush to lock in fares.
Right,
it's not a bad idea.
They could be going up.
Well, fuel prices, all that stuff. We are going to have Ed Bastian on, the head of one of the, if I think the greatest airline, Delta, our hometown airline and the official airline of the Paul W. Smith Show and family, but Ed Bastian, Nick DeMarco, Hussein Berry, and all the other folks we deal with, they are adding 10 new ultra-long routes in 2026 with up to 17-hour nonstop flights. 17 hours! Wow! God bless Delta and the whole Delta family. And, you know, we talked before the end of the year last year, and he said, yeah, he'd love to come on. We'll talk. But there's been one issue after another.
Right.
And I don't want to bother him. I don't want to call and say, oh, I know you're in the middle of this and that and whatever. So,
and then, Paul, did you see the big meteor that that boomed across Ohio the other day?
Yeah, I was hearing a lot about it. And then we saw it in the news last night. And you sent me a story on it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ignore it.
No, it's all right. There's so much other stuff going on.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. Did the tornado drill go off at 1 o'clock? That's what I want to know. I didn't hear it. I
yes.
got headphones on.
Yes, and there might be an encore performance here because there's a little mix-up, but...
What can you tell us?
Somebody sent a drill before the actual drill, so... That's why we test people.
Is there a emoji that goes like this? I thought I saw one. Is there one that goes like this? Ouch!
Yeah, yeah, there's one where they're covering their face, yes. That one sounded painful. Don't hurt yourself.
I forgot my Michigan ring is on that hand, and I hit my head with
Paul,
with
you're
my
bleeding.
Ring.
My God.
If I pass out, you guys take over.
Yeah.
Other quick things. Senate opens bitter dispute. What else is new there? U.S. drivers see gas prices jump almost as high as when what's-his-name was president. That's it. We'll stay on time here. We'll make everybody happy. It's 1:13, Paul W. Smith in Focus, WJR. Patrick DeHaan is now one of the most requested interviews ever, and I'd like to say we were there from the beginning. I think we have been. He's our gas buddy. He is the head of petroleum analysis at a Gas Buddy, and we have leaned on him, depended on him. Now, so have people all over the country and all over the world. Patrick, I hope this has not gone to your head.
I still make time for everyone, and I appreciate you having me back again.
Well, we appreciate you making time for us, that's for sure. Can you tell us, we think of what's going on in the world. For context, Iraq was producing about 4.5 million barrels of oil a day before the war started, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. And now the near shutdown of the Strait of Hormuz means that around 20 million barrels of crude and oil products, which is apparently about a fifth of the world oil supply, choked off from the global markets every day. That's kind of a daily check thing, isn't it, Patrick?
Yeah, it really is. And the longer the situation drags on, the more, you and I are paying at the pump and even beyond the pump. Next time you go to the grocery store, the hardware store, the mall, wherever you buy things, it's going to be more expensive as diesel prices now are above the $5 mark. And that's the first time since 2022. In fact, earlier today, the national average, which now at $3.86 is virtually the same as what we're seeing in Metro Detroit. The national average is now at its highest level since 2022, and oil prices up another 2% today. We continue to just kind of watch this get worse, and not a whole lot of terrific news on when it could potentially get any better.
Tell me something that I clearly have misunderstood. I remember hearing the president say something to the effect that because of his drill, baby, drill, we, the U.S., had all the oil we needed, and we were not dependent on these foreign countries, and some of them are enemies, and that we'd be okay. Whatever happened to that?
Well, unfortunately, the price of oil is the prevailing force. The president's not wrong. We're relatively insulated from supply disruptions as the world's largest oil producers. But something that most Metro Detroiters can understand, too, is that home prices, to equate home and oil prices, home prices in Metro Detroit just don't go up on one street nor in one community. They've gone up across Detroit over the last 5-10 years. And it's the same kind of system. Oil prices aren't just lower in some areas or some countries. It's higher for everyone. And unfortunately, though, some homes may have more availability. There may be more supply in one area of Detroit than another. Home prices have gone up virtually across the board. And that's the same for the price of oil is, there's a finite amount of it, and we're all globally, not just the U.S., Canada is seeing a surge in prices, Japan, Asia, China. You know, you and I may have gasoline at the pump, but that doesn't insulate us from the rising price of oil, which is a global commodity.
Fascinating. Stock markets rose for a third day in Asia. South Korea's Kospi climbed 5%. Japan's Nikkei rose 2.9%, both helped by tech stocks. It's just kind of hard to figure how things go, but we do look at who has gone through the Straits of Hormuz or will: China, Greece, India, Pakistan, Turkey. What about the oil that is directly headed to the United States? I never hear very much about that. Just random attacks on random ships.
Yeah, well, and that's enough to keep the risk, you know, element there. You know, just the threat of something happening, you know, is enough to really derail these shipments and keep them parked. I mean, you know, if somebody said, would you go out on a limb and take a risk on $100 to $200 million cargo and risk, you know, 20 crewmen to sail through there, even if you might not have insurance? I mean, and by the way, that is why insurance for these carriers are surging in price, because the risk element is there. You know, that's exactly why we're seeing ships balk at that kind of opportunity. You know, if you knew there was a tornado that was about to hit the road and somebody told you, hey, it'll be all right, you might be able to avoid it. You know, you're probably still not going to risk the potential for damage. Nobody really wants to deal with insurance to begin with. And it's just the risk calculation is too high. And Iran continues to make threats. And to your point, there's a trickle of ships getting through the Strait of Hormuz. There are maybe some backdoor arrangements happening for countries that are friendly with Iran, but there is still a huge, huge kink in the amount of ships that are kind of waiting for the risk to improve. And I don't think it's going to, because Iran is now learning that they have leverage in a way that they may not have understood they do. So, you know, attack a few ships, that is enough of a risk element to keep a lot of these ships from trying to make it through.
Hey, am I hallucinating, but didn't I hear Patrick Dahan early on that we would be willing to have American warships escort these ships? And didn't I hear that some insurance company stepped up and said they would insure these ships? I swear I heard these things a while ago.
You heard those things, but then you also heard about a week and a half later that the Navy was not prepared to offer military escorts to every vessel, and they're still not. And that's where, you know, words, anyone can say words, but actions speak louder than words. And the U.S. military is probably much busier with what's going on in Iran than to offer hundreds of ships through the Strait of Hormuz and escort. And Iran has potentially promised to attack U.S. military and U.S. vessels in the Strait of Hormuz. So this is fraught with risk as well. And that's all of what this comes down to, is the element of risk is very high. And right now, because of that high risk, it's been extremely disruptive to the flow of oil globally, and that's had a negative impact on prices. And that's why you and I are paying more at the pump, and that's why diesel prices are surging and jet fuel prices, because the reality of risk.
Wise words always from Patrick Dahan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy. And he reminds us, as we know, actions are louder than words. Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks for having me.
We always appreciate having you on, even if we're not thrilled with the news we get. Relentless Positive Radio, otherwise the best we can hear. Paul W. Smith in focus on WJR. Well, we're seeing from the Israeli ambassador to the United States that, in fact, tips by Iran citizens guided Israel to the leaders that the average citizens in Iran would like to see gone. And slowly but surely, they are being removed, annihilated. But how long will this go? Don't know. And where will Iran go once those leaders are gone? Don't know that yet either. But we know getting rid of the Ayatollah and then the Ayatollah's son is really the right thing to do at this point, because of the regimes that they've led and the terrible things they've done to the people of Iran, including the women, but everybody. All right. Keith Naughton is here, Bloomberg Auto Business Reporter. Keith, welcome. Always a pleasure to catch up with you, sir. It's Paul W.
Thank you for having me on, Paul W.
Tell me what this means when a company, like in this case, This is an actual example. Ford Motor Company has authorized a plan to buy back up to 31.7 million shares of its stock, which is a small repurchase, but it's to offset the dilution to shares caused by its employee compensation program as well as other convertible instruments. I don't even know what that means.
Well, it is bonus time, as maybe you know, Paul W., and so a lot of Ford salary employees just received some stock compensation. There's also some convertible notes, loans, that are coming due and have to be the interest has to be paid. That can also be paid in stock. So issuing more stock dilutes the value of the stock. So the Ford Motor Company is trying to offset that by buying back really a modest number of shares, 31.7 million shares out of Ford's almost 4 billion outstanding shares accounts for less than 1%.
So we hear a lot of times about the profit sharing checks and things like that. Those are always the fine UAW workers that are getting those checks. What we're talking about is the Ford salaried employee compensation, which is a plan that has three components: a base salary, an annual cash bonus, and then an annual stock award in the company, if I have that right.
Right, and it's the stock award issue that they're trying to offset with this repurchase. And salaried employees did well with their bonuses this year. They got 130% of their bonus target because they are meeting the quality goals that CEO Jim Farley had laid out and the board had laid out. So because of that, you know, there are going to be more Ford shares out there. The company wants to buy them back so that that doesn't have a dilutive effect, that it doesn't, you know, reduce the value of Ford shares. When there's more of something, it reduces the value. When there's less, the value improves.
Keith Naughton is here. He is a Bloomberg auto business reporter. Now, what about the timing of this? And is this a good deal for shareholders? And if you were sitting on a pile of Ford stock, would you be contacted by, I don't know, Ford, or however this takes place, would you sell your shares back? Or am I missing the point here?
If they're going to do it in the open market, or they might do it with some large shareholders, it's unlikely that they're going to be coming at smaller shareholders offering to buy their shares back. They'll just do it in the open market. As I said, it's not a big buyback. Some shareholders would prefer more. GM is in the middle of a $6 billion stock buyback. This buyback by Ford will cost them about $375 million. So it's a big difference. But it should improve the value of Ford stock. The stock has been up a couple of percent since they announced this buyback on Friday after the market closed. So it's having a, you know, mildly positive effect.
As Keith mentioned, when companies do stock buybacks, it can typically boost stock prices and therefore shareholder value because it reduces the number of outstanding shares, thereby increasing earnings per share. And frankly, it also signals management's confidence in their company. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing this, I don't think.
Absolutely. And for example, Executive Chair Bill Ford just bought a whole bunch of stock. And after he did that, you saw the shares go up. Now, the Iran war came along, and that's had a negative effect on all auto stocks. So you sort of have to deal with that separately. But before that happened, Ford shares were rising nicely this year, and they are still up over the last 12 months.
Well, there are some people within the sound of my voice that did very, very well on Ford back in the Alan Mulally days when he chose not to get government money and all the rest of the people did. And even though the Ford stock went down to, I don't know, a dollar or less, I can't remember right now, but it was very low. They didn't go bankrupt. They didn't get government money. And people who loaded up on Ford at that time, even if the stock just went to $11 or $12, did okay.
Yeah, I mean, you could have done well before the war broke out. You could have done very well on Ford stock just over the preceding 12 months. It was up almost 50%.
Oh, really?
Still up. Yeah, it's still up about 20% compared to a year ago. So, you know, the
domestic auto stocks had been rising before, you know, gas prices went up with the war. And, you know, there's a return to selling the very profitable SUVs and pickup trucks that always benefits Detroit.
Well, excellent news. Anything else we need to know, Keith?
It's going to be an interesting time to navigate, you know, the uncertainties ahead with the war. But auto stocks have been doing all right here in Detroit.
Well, that's good news. And we're going to turn to you for more good news whenever we can. And even if there isn't good news, you'll make some up for us, okay?
Thanks, Paul W.
Thank you, sir. Keith Naughton, Bloomberg Auto Business Reporter, in focus with Paul W. Smith on this Wednesday, middle of the week on WJR, Relentless Positive Radio. I'm going to get to this story first because it's so sad and I just want it to be behind us, but I can't not read it. Because I see on, you've seen it too. I don't do a lot of social media, but I do the Instagram. My Instagram is Paul W. Smithsta. I named it that because that's what the kids said at the time. It's Instagram, do this, blah, blah, blah. I had no idea, but I'm happy with it, Paul W. Smithsta. But I see other social media stuff come around, and we've all seen these wonderfully cute little situations with little babies and dogs. And I'm telling you, I'm sorry, it always makes me nervous. Do you know what I'm saying,
Mike? Yeah, and I know where you're going, too.
Yeah, it always makes me nervous. And now we have this terrible little story in Novi where a five-day-old infant was found dead with puncture wounds consistent with an animal attack at this Novi home yesterday morning. Novi Police Commander Bob Manar said officers and firefighters were called at 8:28 in the morning at the home, an unresponsive infant. Quote, a family member reported finding the infant injured with puncture wounds. Those wounds appear to be consistent with an animal attack. The commander said the infant, a five-day-old female, indeed did die. He could not say if the girl's family owned a dog, but confirmed a dog was removed from the home. Obviously, the incident continues under investigation. I know that people would not ever knowingly put their infant, their baby, their toddler in harm's way. But it does seem as if we have to remind people sometimes that no matter what, as much a part of your family you think that dog is, it's still a dog.
Yeah, and it really, I mean, really, it's also a failure of supervision as well.
Supervision, training, access, it's all too many things. I had to read the story just to remind people about these sorts of things that do happen. Even if they don't happen often or we don't hear about them often, I needed to bring that up. That's all. Not annual, but every 2 or 3 years, Selfridge Air National Guard Base has a fabulous air show. Very, very popular. It's an air show and an open house. Now, it was scheduled to happen again this year in May, but it is now being canceled due to, quote, operational and readiness requirements. And that show draws thousands to the base in Harrison Township and is held every, 2 to 5 years. It was scheduled for this May 30th and 31st and had already been promoted with some performances of at least a couple of key performers. But Brigadier General Leah Volker, commander of the 127th Wing and Selfridge Air National Guard Base, says the cancellation is due to operational and readiness requirements. And that was a press release from the base, according to the story in The Detroit News, the award-winning Detroit News, and Ann Snabes, who reported that. The 127th Wing is a unit of the Michigan Air National Guard. It's comprised of over 1,400 uniformed air personnel. So there's that. Quickly, I'm never a guy who's trying to take away people's rights. But I brought this up the other day, and I don't, if you've yelled at me on Facebook, I haven't seen it. I do have a Facebook page, have no idea how to access it.
It's very popular. You wouldn't know, but it's very popular.
Maybe I should start looking at it. Maybe you'll tell me after the show how to do that without screwing up my phone or my computer. But, you know, I went on a rampage briefly about raw milk and why that's a big deal.
Right.
When, you know, take advantage of science and pasteurization, which was put into place to protect us. It's not a bad thing. Now, I know we've gone overboard with chemicals, and I understand organic and not wanting the fruits and vegetables and other stuff just jammed with poison, basically, just so they can make more of it to increase the crop. I understand and appreciate that. But in terms of milk, come on. And now look, I mean, this is a perfect timed story. The FDA has urged Raw Farm, I don't know anything about them, to voluntarily recall its raw milk cheese after identifying it as a likely source of an E. coli outbreak.
Who would have seen that coming?
Yeah, right. But the company has declined, which means they must have good lawyers because they're going to get the hell sued out of them for presenting a food product that they say is safe, or they shouldn't be selling it, and apparently it may not be. E. coli linked to cheddar cheese made with raw milk. Folks, it's not worth it. Pasteurization is a good thing. Now listen to this. For those of us who loaded up on our forever stamps, this doesn't make us feel good. The United States Postal Service chief saying the 250-year-old agency could run out of cash within a year. How many times have we heard things like that? A million times.
Right.
One of these days, they're going to mean it, and they're not going to get the help from Congress they need, and we're going to be in trouble, those of us sitting on all those forever stamps. So my suggestion is start using your forever stamps.
Well, quickly. And also, I thought it was a given that the post office runs at a loss because it's run as a service, not a business.
Why would that be, though?
Well, because people need the mail.
Yeah, but can't somebody come up with a way of doing this service so that it at least breaks even, if not even, God forbid, made money?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
FedEx does, UPS does.
Yeah.
Why can't USPS?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they have to operate a little cheaper for people who can't afford the private services. I don't know. That's a good question. Guess it.
All right. One that we will ask somebody in the days ahead. What we're doing right now is getting ready for JR Afternoon with the one and only Ryan Ermani. I hope you had fun yesterday, Ryan.
Paul, let me tell you, anytime I am at an Irish pub having a couple of beers, seeing people, well, I didn't actually drink the beer, but it was.
Did you have beer? It occurred to me, and I thought, I probably shouldn't. But if you would have, that would have opened the door for the rest of us.
Right. I did not, but I did see it, and it looked good, and I'm glad everybody had a good time, but it was great to see you as well. And man, the people that come out to see Paul W. Smith is incredible, and I was happy to be a small part of it.
Oh, come on. It was great to have people there to party and to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and a tradition that was started by J.P. McCarthy 41 years ago. But it occurred to me after I figured that out, he must have done it about 10 years, and I've done it about 30 years. If it's 41 years, I'm thinking, wow,
that's incredible.
We've been doing it a long time, and I'm glad you were there, and I'm glad you did your show. What's going on today?
We're going to talk about Operation Epic Fury, everything going on with our NATO allies, and how the war is being covered. I'm really excited to talk about that part of it.
Well, there's a lot to talk about with that, and I'm not surprised that the newsman in you is coming through. JR Afternoon up next with Ryan Ermani. Stand by for news. Regards, Paul W. Smith.